The Bitcoin Fear and Greed Index has tanked and price isn't moving much lately. But is it worth getting anxious about? Perhaps there is more to the story and it's time to get bullish. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Tony and our friend Sophie here with me. Guys, we're pre-recording this, but I thought it might be a great opportunity to reset a bit and discuss why Bitcoin is winning, even when some people can't see it. I've got the Fear and Greed Index tweet up from George Bodine, and I love what he said here. He said, this morning's fear index, and it is, by the way, very, very low, extreme fearful. He said, best gift I ever gave myself was immunity from fear with Bitcoin. I have achieved this from work, study, focus. Every single day that Bitcoin hovers in this range, the less convicted will sell Bitcoin. Most will never be back. Lonely are the brave. So guys, I think this probably expresses our sentiment well. But Sophie, I would love to have you sort of give your assessment of what you see, you know, working in Bitcoin, talking Bitcoin all the time out there in the sort of in the Twitter sphere and elsewhere.
I mean, it's interesting because I see this fear and greed index and I just see smash buy, you know, the more in the red it is, the more you should probably, it's a great opportunity to buy. And believe it or not, I don't really feel that fear and greed in the real world. You might see it in traditional finance. You might see it, you know, with the TradFi bros and the people who bought ETFs and, you know, people who just don't really understand how Bitcoin works. But out in the real world with real Bitcoiners and people who use Bitcoin on a day-to-day basis, even like my cousin the other day, he was like, I'm smash buying. I'm finding cash wherever I can. I need more Bitcoin. Like it's definitely greed, but fear, I'm not so sure.
Tony, what do you think? I mean, we talk about a lot of the crazy stuff going on in the world often, and it's not to induce fear, but it's just the practical reality and people need to protect themselves. But I know that you remain incredibly optimistic on this.
Yeah, man. I mean, I've been asked many times, you know, how come I'm so chill about, you know, everything that's going with everything that's going on. I'm like, why wouldn't I be chill? This greed and fear index to me is really like the ignorant and misinformed index, because if you actually understood what was going on, you'd be super excited rather than being, you know, fearful and silly. The situation worldwide is bad. Of course it's bad, but you know, there's a reason why it's bad. It didn't just, you know, just land from the sky and, you know, things are just bad. They're bad because we are experiencing, you know, a monetary reset. We have an entire empire that is collapsing and is taking out everything in its way. And so most folks, unfortunately, you know, they don't listen to the right messages. They don't read the right news. They, you know, they're just stuck in a 2x2, you know, life routine, and, you know, they're bouncing from wall to wall, you know, hoping, you know, they're complaining all day is going to fix something. But, you know, sadly, it doesn't. That fearlessness that George is referring to is, you know, is very common with folks that have gone through extreme pain. I don't know what, you know, the specifics of George's story are, but, you know, people that, you know, live their life this way usually have come, you know, from a rough road. Like in the same way I, you know, rose back up from hell, I'm sure George has his own version of it. And so do like many folks out there. That fearlessness is the real thing. Because when you experience, you know, quote unquote death, nothing really phases you anymore. And so the only way to go from that point on is up, right? And in my case, you know, that took me down the rabbit hole of really studying and understanding, you know, why things were so bad globally, why things are going to continue getting bad, unfortunately, and what the solution is, because to every problem, there is an answer. The trick is finding the answer. And this is where, unfortunately, a lot of folks are still, you know, nowhere near this answer. Bitcoin is the escape hatch. It's the chessboard that isn't failing. In fact, it's the chessboard that's getting stronger as the one most people are still on is failing. And so if you understand this, it's extremely exciting and bullish because you are literally, you know, at the forefront of something the world has never seen before. You know, sound money, neutral money, fixed supply, no living soul can manipulate or uncorrupt, rules without rulers. You know, like that utopian world that people talk about, there's a real possibility that this world becomes, you know, a thing, you know, with sound money now that it exists. And so I urge folks, you know, not to give up on those that are seemingly, you know, helpless, you know, because I know it's frustrating. It takes a ton of patience to talk with folks that simply don't want to listen, right? Because you're doing it, you know, as an act of love and they're translating it as an act of war. And so a lot of people just give up. I work very hard, you know, every day not to give up, you know, as difficult as it may be some days. But I know what the bigger picture is. And the bigger picture is to transform more of this fear into that excitement. And that comes really from education and understanding. Because once you know the facts, you know, the fear just goes away. It just evaporates.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. I think it's we talk about like all roads leading to Bitcoin. And if you really step back and that's not just some sort of trope that we throw out. If you really step back and think about what is the only way that we people generally can escape from all of the turmoil that we see, it really comes down to Bitcoin. It's going to take longer than many people would like for others to wake up. But we saw a lot of people wake up post-COVID. I think we're going to see a lot more people wake up with the next crisis because I'm sure it's being manufactured. But it really is monetary gunpowder. I love Saifedean's analogy that you can choose to reject this new technology, but eventually you're going to have to, or you're going to pay the price for it. And we may have a lot of price paying to do over the coming years for many people, but eventually I think we all get there. So, guys, I've got a few things that I could share that that make me particularly bullish at the moment. And I know, you know, Tony, we don't get real excited about price, but for what it's worth, if anyone's paying attention, I'm sure a lot of people are looking at the charts. Bitcoin, at the time of this recording here, Bitcoin just closed its first green month after 5 months in the red. So, and by the way, we've been staying pretty steady. It's not like Bitcoin dumped to, you know, 10K. We've seen these big swings in fiat price throughout the years. This is nothing in my mind to get freaked out about. The fact that it's holding steady amidst war and energy crises and all of these things to me is incredibly bullish. I don't know if either of you have a thought on this.
Well, I mean, the you know, the spike up to 126, you know, as nice as it may have looked, you know, on the charts, to me, I always had a suspicion that it was like a fake pump because there's a lot of, you know, stupidity, you know, in the market that is causing it to go up. I genuinely did not believe for a second that all of a sudden, you know, this 126K was in the hands of, you know, people like me. There's no chance because, you know, you have all sorts of, you know, crazy like TradFi games using Bitcoin, you know, every single day, leveraged traders, people doing all sorts of, you know, fancy circus acts, trying to get creative with making more Bitcoin, and 99% of them end up getting wrecked. And so this is exactly what happened. So we had an accumulation of, you know, silly games, I guess, which pumped the price up. And then the minute something broke, they all came tumbling down, you know, within hours. And of course, there's a lot of market manipulators out there that see these, you know, these silly games and are just waiting for the pot to get, you know, juicy enough before they rug pull it. And so the fact that it's holding steady now is because I think the majority of these clowns are out or they're broke and, you know, they're not back in for whatever reason. Bitcoin is the best form of money the world has ever seen, right? I mean, when people tell me I made profits, you know, by selling Bitcoin, it literally cracks me up. I'm like, define profit. If you mean profit by having more of that worthless paper that is losing value, you know, every minute of every day, then you've got your definitions backwards, my friend. Because if I wanted to accumulate, you know, a lot of paper as well, I just go buy the Lebanese pound. It's very easy, man. I'll become a trillionaire in half an hour. I don't understand, you know, what you get so excited about. Yeah, but we live in a dollar world. We live in a dollar world that is on its way out. Yeah, for now, in like big bold capital letters. But that for now is expiring very quickly. This is why we see all the calamities out there, right? And again, I mean, it comes down from sheer ignorance because to the world, there is bad currencies. And in the countries that have them, the only other currency that they know that is good is the dollar. Like in their vocabulary, in their knowledge base, Bitcoin is not there yet. Like nobody has implemented that world in their radar. So they don't see it. They only stop at the dollar, which is why people get excited over the stablecoin nonsense. But sooner or later, even that's going to fail because it's based on the same failing dollar to begin with, right? And when that happens, you know, like you've looked everywhere, there's nowhere else to go. Sooner or later, you're going to be forced to look at the money that is not government issued or central bank issued, something, again, that humanity has never known before, which is why so many remain oblivious to it. But if you do the work and you just spend a couple of hours reading and listening to the right people to understand why your life is a mess, why you can't, you know, afford many things, why prices are always up, why people are complaining, why we're about to witness the biggest historical crash like Earth has ever seen, you know, in the not so distant future, well, you know, you get your answers. And once you have this understanding, you know where to go. And so watching the charts to me is laughable, because no matter what the chart says, I see the number one Bitcoin is equal to thousands of whatever currency you want to list on that chart. So to me, there's only one king of money. And it's not the dollar, it's not the euro, it's not any of these worthless printed papers. It's Bitcoin that cannot be manipulated by anyone on this planet. And so whether it's 68 or 680,000 or 10 million, you know, that's like it's like a bonus. It's like a cherry on top, because my one is still worth a lot more than your one in paper is ever going to be worth, right? This is why I call it the savings technology. You buy it, you save in it, you stack more of it so that you have more today than you did yesterday. And at some point, your total purchasing power in whichever local fiat currency is going to be phenomenal, which is why so many Bitcoiners who have understood this many years ago don't complain about money. It's not that they're buying Lambos every Tuesday, but they don't complain about money, because as inflation goes up, so does their purchasing power, because they're holding an asset that is deflationary. It's going the opposite direction. And so that's the money logical people should be holding, because trying to accumulate more of that failing paper just to make you feel better is just a sign of repeating the same, you know, same bad habits. It's like it's a sheer sign of ignorance. And so the charts, you can look at them if it makes you feel better, but relying on them to make your life decisions financially, in my opinion, is a terrible, terrible strategy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Sophie, did you want to add something there?
Well, I actually wanted to ask, I completely agree, by the way, and I think that, you know, looking at this chart is kind of just like, cool. For Bitcoiners who are used to going on the roller coaster of price increases and dips and whatever, like, we look at this and we're like, oh, all right, like, not a big deal. You show this to someone who's a regular on the stock market and they have a heart attack. Or, you know, they get really excited and it's just like, oh, okay, great. Like, clap, monkey, clap. But I wanted to ask Tony, what is your take on the 4-year cycle, given the fact that you said, you know, you didn't believe that 126,000 was the top, that it was, you know, market manipulation? I kind of feel the same way, but I wanted to ask you directly, like, what do you think about the 4-year cycle? Is it dead? Are we, you know, is it still alive? Are we still relying on this, like, red, green, red, whatever? I think it's like red, red, green or something. It's the opposite. It's green, green, red, and then green again. What do you think about that?
I personally never paid much attention to the 4-year cycle because I don't try to fit Bitcoin into the legacy world, which is why, which is what people who focus on these 4-year cycles are doing. Bitcoin is money, but when you put it in a 4-year cycle, that means you're treating it as a stock, as a speculation. That's not what it is. So it makes no sense for it to be in that world. And those who do this, well, you know, they're just repeating, you know, legacy TradFi games using Bitcoin. You know, so you have a lot of paper Bitcoin, you have a lot of market manipulators, you have a lot of these, you know, like these dirty games that are being played in this world. And of course, you know, you're going to have these cycles because that's just inherent to the nature of that world, right? But for those who understand that Bitcoin is the money, it's an advantage point, because when the fiat price drops, you know, people who understand Bitcoin as money get excited, right? Because now it's a cheaper way to accumulate more stacks. Eventually, these four-year cycles are going to stop, simply because, first of all, Bitcoin's fixed supply, you know, gives it an expiration date, and no one has an endless amount of money. So at some point, you know, people are going to just run out of money or just stop doing it, because situations, whether it's globally, economically, whatever the case may be, are going to force them to stop doing this, because there's more important priorities to attend to than trying to gamble all day long with something that is not meant to be gambled with. So again, when the price dips, it's a chance to accumulate more sats. At some point, whatever amount of sats that you have will give you a purchasing power that gives you a comfortable life, because again, it's going in the opposite direction of the inflation. You are going, you know, your purchasing power goes up as the inflation goes up. And so when the fiat price goes really up, that's like, look at it as like a Christmas bonus. You know, like, it really shouldn't be like, oh my God, now I'm rich. If you're thinking that way, it's because you're still thinking in dollars. You know, I understand we still live in a fiat world, but when you break that mindset, it makes your understanding of Bitcoin a lot stronger, and you know, and your conviction at the same time. Because if your dollar amount went up, then your other fiat currencies amount also went up. So you are literally in the strongest position financially you can be, you know, in this world, because you are holding again the king of money that is worth thousands of every other piece of paper out there. So making profits, the only profit you're going to make is if you have more Bitcoin, because that is going to cement your freedom. That's the only.
And I wouldn't even look at it as a profit, because like, it kind of reinforces that gambling mentality that you Correct. Were talking about. You know, and that mentality is what got us into fiat in the first place, in my opinion. I think that when you think like, oh, I'm going to put my money into something because I want it to grow magically out of thin air, instead of, you know, I'm going to put my money into something so that it doesn't lose value over time, which is essentially what Bitcoin is, you know, it kind of opens up your world to, you know, first of all, be like less greedy, and second of all, work, you know, put more like hours and dedication into the thing that you actually want and actually like grow something, instead of just sitting there and expecting the world to hand you everything. And I think that Bitcoin enables that. It enables like ironically, because right, like you have all these crypto bros that, you know, made 1,000x and now they have a Lambo and they're like, oh, I never have to work a day in your life. But it's like, how miserable is that? You know, you kind of lose so much of your life's purpose by buying into that fiat gambling mentality. And like, you can just, you know, like Bitcoin serves a totally different purpose than that, because it's not just the pump and dump. It's something that is actually going to retain value for the rest of your life, and that you can pass on to your children.
Absolutely. I think you're right. If I could comment on the 4-year cycle, and then people talk about the power law, I'm really open-minded to what we could see in terms of fiat price action coming over the next, you know, 8 to 10 years. I think eventually, though, what I do believe is all models will be broken, and there will be a black swan, or there will be a moment of reckoning, like Tony alluded to. The next crisis is, it's going to be bigger. The print's going to be bigger. The response is going to be bigger. More people will wake up, and it'll become evident that you need a plan B. That whatever you've been doing in fiat for all of these years, for your whole life, it is no longer going to work. And that is when I think Bitcoin goes, you know, in purchasing power terms, just goes crazy. The other comment I would make is that we've talked a lot about price. The thing for me is, I'll tell you a quick story. I shared this on our live stream. So my sister-in-law is trying to pay a contractor in cash, and she needs to pay him in like in the next 5-7 days, something like that. And her bank doesn't offer like traditional banking services. She can't go withdraw this cash from the bank that she's used for forever. So she has to go set up a new bank account, and they have a withdrawal period. Like, she can't withdraw the amount that she needs in cash for like 30 days or something. And so now she's like in this conundrum where it's, and so I, she was texting our family chat about this. And I said, it's not money. It's not yours. And they don't have it anyway. Got Bitcoin. And I think more people are going to wake up to the non-purchasing power attributes of Bitcoin, like censorship resistance, permissionlessness, all of the things we talk all the time about, because you need that as much as you need Bitcoin number go up. Like in this world, that is so much more important in today. Tony, you understand it because of Lebanon. Most people in the West haven't experienced that. The Canadian truckers, they get it. But like the average American, the average Canadian, the average Australian, like they just haven't experienced that yet. When they
I think a lot of Americans do understand it, but like they just think it's normal. And so do a lot of other people in the world. They just think it's normal that, like this is my money, but they get to control how it comes in and out of my account. Yeah, that's totally normal. People just accept it because it's convenient and because it is the status quo.
They accept it until they lose access to it. That's the problem.
Until they feel the pain, which you mentioned also. And I completely relate to that, because when I worked in the Dominican Republic, I had the same experience as your sister. I was literally like trying to make business transactions, and the bank was like, well, unless you come here with a letter in, you know, a long paper format with a stamp and the signature from the president of the company and an ID with, you know, like your visa, like you need like all these papers to make a transaction from the account that you own. That's crazy to me.
Yeah,
and
that's
it's until
not normal.
You feel that pain, until you feel the loss of opportunity, the way that these people just have you absolutely controlled, then that was like my moment of reckoning. And that unfortunately will not be the moment of reckoning for many people, because they really just think it's normal.
Yeah, it's normal until it stops becoming normal. This is like, you know, denying that you're in a really bad and abusive relationship until one day you wake up with, you know, every bone in your body broken.
And then they'll give you the bread and circuses and tell you, oh no, it's fine. Like, look over here, look at this distraction, look at whatever. Like, and that's how they distract you. How do you think they printed so much money during COVID?
Yeah, but you know what? So I don't expect 8.3 billion people to get it. But the silver lining is we don't need 8.3 billion people. Bitcoin fails if nobody uses it. And that is the farthest thing from what is actually happening now, because Bitcoin's awakening and adoption is on fire, right? People who understand its actual value proposition, that you are no longer living in a cage. That's not normal, man, that you have to beg to use your own money and to wait for permission from some piece of shit that just doesn't want to give it to you because they don't feel like it, or they think you're just not worthy enough. Like, people should like have enough self-respect to say no to living the life of a literal donkey with a chain around your neck. That is not normal.
I think you nailed it. And by the way, I'm glad we got to cover that. I will say, on the number go up topic, people do need to still zoom out. If you're waiting for your purchasing power to increase, that is happening. 13 years ago today, day of recording here, Bitcoin reached $100 for the first time. The beauty of this revolution, this peaceful revolution, is the fact that we're talking about this in the earliest innings. That said, I'm sort of a gradually then suddenly guy, as I alluded to. I don't think the early innings last a whole lot longer, maybe a year, maybe a couple of years. I don't know. But if you're waiting for your purchasing power to go up, I think that day is coming. In the meantime, be grateful that you found Bitcoin early enough, that you had time to study it, that you learned, that you grew your conviction, and you have all of these other things like censorship resistant money, the ability to be your own bank. You have, you know, unpermissioned money. Those are beautiful things we can celebrate today. In the meantime, you know, we'll see what our purchasing power looks like 5 years from now. I think it's going to be wild, personally.
And 13 years ago, man, that's really not that long ago. I mean, this is like the fastest appreciating form of currency that I think has ever existed. I mean, this is crazy. To me, it's really mind-boggling why not more people are angry that their situation sucks. They're angry that they can't afford anything. They're angry that they always have to beg someone to access their own time and energy. Like, how does that make sense in a sane world?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes no sense. The other thing to keep in mind is I think my thesis is 30 years from now, people are going to earn in Bitcoin and then they're going to save in Bitcoin. And then some people who are savvy, you know, well-informed, they're going to invest some portion of what they earn into, you know, riskier, you know, business, starting up businesses, whatever. And that's, I think that's fine. Those people are probably going to see like a 3% growth in their 5% growth in their purchasing power every year, not 50, not 100%, not what we get to experience in the early days of Bitcoin. So I think that's still a beautiful world where you can save the money that you earn. You can save your Bitcoin and you see it grow a little bit in purchasing power because of technology making things more efficient, the world more productive. But most people who over the next 100 years are not going to get to experience what we get to experience now because they weren't alive in the early days of Bitcoin, or they were sitting on the sidelines trying to deal with withdrawing cash from a bank or whatever. They were just asleep at the wheel. So again, I think something to be incredibly bullish and grateful for. Yeah. Any other comments on the price?
So many people are taking, you know, the fact that they're alive during this historical moment in time for granted. Because, you know, the massive, you know, generational wealth, you know, that people keep talking about, this can only happen when you are like dinosaur early to something. In 100 years, when Bitcoin is, you know, as common as high-speed internet, well, you know, I mean, you'll still benefit from it for sure. But, you know, those historical returns that people keep, you know, drooling over, those will be gone. Because again, you know, there's so much global adoption that, you know, that stage is already like that train has left already. Because today, for example, if you ask someone who understands Bitcoin, where would you rather park, I don't know, X amount of money into Bitcoin, or let's say, I don't know, buying a restaurant or a hotel? Logically speaking, if they know what they're doing, they wouldn't touch the restaurant or the hotel because they have to deal with staff, they have to deal with regulation and taxes and government. And all that headache. Whereas they can take their money, park it in Bitcoin, and just do nothing really if they don't want to, and just wait for, you know, a little while, and their, you know, their returns on this will be way bigger than any restaurant or hotel that they could have managed, even if they were like flawless in their management execution. There's just, you know, it's not going to happen. But in 100 years, when, you know, Bitcoin's return are no longer like this big, then yes, you know, people will go back to looking at hotels, at restaurants, maybe real estate, things like that, because that is no longer where the bulk of their savings is sitting, right? It's supposed
But it'll be different. It'll, yes. It'll be different because it'll be for people that are actually interested in real estate, who are actually interested in, you know, I mean, I think you have to be interested in making a restaurant to run one, because it's a lot of hard work. But it's people who aren't going to just do things in order to save the value of their currency. It's going to be people who have a vocation, and we're going to go back to where I think we're going to have a renaissance era, honestly, as soon as Bitcoin is like fully adopted by the majority of the world. I think that it's going to give the opportunity for people to get back to being creative, get back to being truly innovative, not just for the sake of making money or making a profit, but for the sake of making something beautiful, of like making something that lasts in this world, that is actually, you know, going to make other people happy. You know, we look at AI right now, and you know, I think a lot of people are and they're like, oh, it's going to take people's jobs. It's going to give you a lot more time to do, you know, the things that you want to do. But that's, first of all, that's impossible if you have a centralized currency and you have, you know, you have these overlords basically dictating what you can and cannot do. And second of all, like the whole purpose of AI is, you know, for the profit of one person. Bitcoin makes it so that everybody benefits. Everybody who uses it benefits. And when everybody benefits truly, and we are able to actually take a breather and be with our families and do the things that we want to do, that just makes for a better society. It makes for more innovation. It makes for better technology. It makes for a better society as a whole. So people, you know, they think that like you're in it because, oh, I want to get rich quick, whatever, Lambo. And it's so much bigger than that. And it like the further you go down the rabbit hole, first of all, the more you realize how messed up the world is because of fiat currency. But then you also realize everything that you have to gain by adopting a Bitcoin currency. And at the end of the day, it's ultimately your time. It's your time. And when everybody else has, you know, a reclamation back of their time, they do better things with it. They make good in the world. And so that, to me, is where Bitcoin ultimately lands everybody and why I care so much about this stuff. Because if everybody had a little bit more time to like do the things that they love, I know that this world would genuinely be a better place. People would have more kids because there would be a village to take care of your kids. You know, right now you have households where people, you know, both parents are working and they have to work their butts off because their currency is being robbed from them, and they have to do it because if not, it's impossible to live in this world. And that's just like one small example of one of the things that Bitcoin gives back and why I think that this is the true revolution. It's not anything else. It's Bitcoin.
Absolutely.
I think you nailed it. Guys, there's one before we wrap up, I did want to touch on one more piece of really good news that I think everyone should be excited about. And this is a big deal. So Square, this week, they've auto-enabled Bitcoin payments for U.S. sellers. So I think it's like 4 million merchants who now you can pay with Bitcoin by default. Obviously, on the back end, the merchant can do what they want with that. I think it auto-converts to fiat by default. So it's not like all the merchants are necessarily stacking Bitcoin. But Tony, we talked about this on our live stream as well. And the reality is we're going to see more of those Bitcoin accepted, Bitcoin preferred stickers on doors. And to me, this is going to help fend off people who think of Bitcoin as exclusively an investment vehicle because they've watched too much CNBC or Fox Business or whatever it is. This to me is massive news. I would love for, Tony, you can share your thoughts, but I'd love to hear what Sophie thinks as well.
Yeah, of course, man. This is extremely bullish. I mean, while people who don't understand Bitcoin are, you know, on that, you know, misinformed and ignorant greed index, people who are paying attention to the ecosystem being built are like massively excited and jumping for joy. This is huge because, you know, this is where the puck is going. And when you have solutions that make it brain dead easy for anyone to accept Bitcoin, you know, this is how it infiltrates and becomes more and more mainstream. Merchants now literally have to do nothing except put a sticker on their front door saying that, you know, Bitcoin's accepted here. And once that happens, you know, that gives them access to a massive market that they would have never seen had it not been for that sticker. Something, you know, that restaurants like Steak and Shake, for example, are experiencing. Something like supermarket chains like the Carrefour in Europe is experiencing. And, you know, these smart merchants not only are accepting Bitcoin, but they're incentivizing people to pay in it by giving them, you know, like significant discounts. So to the individual walking through the front door that has never heard of Bitcoin is going to pay attention to that discount. And so they, whether they care about Bitcoin or not, they're going to want to know how to get 20% off. And so by doing that enough time, you know, you subconsciously register Bitcoin as money. And this is how it all of a sudden becomes just like high-speed internet. It's just like everywhere, right? And then, you know, people who want to learn more about this because all of a sudden they realize like, holy shit, man, I don't have to worry about, you know, high prices anymore. Now, you know, I'm comfortable again, you know, and that's usually when that suddenly spread. And there's so many solutions. I mean, Square is really like a huge one, but there are thousands of similar solutions being built on the Bitcoin ecosystem. This is the world that I live in. This is why I wake up super excited no matter what happens on the chart and why I never look at it because it's irrelevant. It's, you know, one world is here. This one's completely, it's a complete parallel world, oil and water. They cannot mix. So at some point, people are going to like pay attention to the positive incentives of sound money and are just going to just leave the old world into the new one.
I agree. And it's being built right before our eyes if people are willing to pay attention. Sophie, you excited about this?
I think it would be super cool if Square did something like Spotify Wrapped for all of these businesses and like sent them like, this year you stacked this much Bitcoin. If you would have had it in fiat, this is how much you would have lost to inflation, but instead you have it in Bitcoin. So this is how much it's expected to grow over the next 4 years. Like, if they made like some really beautiful story, perfect presentation for people to look at and like share with their friends, I think that would be like one of the most massively like orange pilling events of history, because you can see clearly how by accepting Bitcoin without you having to do anything extra, without taking any extra steps, you are able to maximize your returns in your business and, you know, keep your capital intact. So yeah, I'm really excited for this. I think Square and, you know, Jack Dorsey in particular has been a huge pioneer in the adoption of Bitcoin. I remember that in the last Bitcoin conference they had in Miami, which I think was like in 2022, Cash App had this massive satellite event on Lincoln Road, and they had a bunch of vendors. And it was the first time in my life that I ever heard of like my normie friends, because I have a lot of like fashion girlies who do thrift markets and things like that. It was the first time I ever heard them, the cool girls, talking about Bitcoin. And so now everybody has access to this. It's just really like an automatic thing. And I think that it's going to be great for businesses. And, you know, but also like there needs to be like kind of that like look at how this is going for you and why this is positive for you and why you should opt into this option that you don't even have to like do any extra steps. But like this is why it matters, because social media, like people underestimate the power of social media sometimes. And like when people like make kind of like a shareable moment, a memeable moment, which I think like Jack Dorsey, obviously like creator of Twitter, is like perfectly positioned to do. I think that will, you know, advance hyper Bitcoinization more than you can even realize.
That is a really good point. And by the way, you should tweet that at Jack and suggest it, because that's a great idea. Because if these merchants, if they turned on the ability for US merchants to accept euros, no one would care. No one would care. And for a lot of these merchants, they don't understand why they would accept Bitcoin. It doesn't, you know, they haven't done the work. It hasn't registered for them. But if there were some sort of a, like an educational tool that was incorporated, like, you know, a recap of the year, like encouraging people to not just accept Bitcoin because that's on by default, but actually to hold in Bitcoin after they've received payment in Bitcoin, take self-custody, right? Like all of the things that the average person who just runs a coffee shop who hasn't dug into Bitcoin isn't going to know. I feel like this is a platform that could be way more than just, hey, you know, you're going to accept Bitcoin by default. And that would be beautiful in my mind.
Yeah, there should be kind of like a social like a social aspect to this, because I don't know, Spotify did it. Nobody ever thought that music streaming could become a social media platform. And, you know, here we are. Everybody gets excited for Spotify Wrapped at the end of the year. It started actually like as a social media app. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but Spotify at the beginning was an app it wasn't even an app. It was like just a thing that you downloaded onto your a program, if you will, onto your computer, and you would make all of your playlists, and like you would join. It was the first time ever that you could join with your friends and they could see your playlist and you could see their playlist, and you could share the music and you can add it to your library. Like, we take that stuff for granted now. Venmo is another really great example. Venmo made it so that exchanging money was a social media experience. Like, oh my God, did you hear that Michael Venmo'd Vanessa $50? Like, I wonder what that was for. There were like these emojis. Like, did they go on a date? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can make it a social media aspect. You can make it something fun.
You're gonna get these privacy people up in arms.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Normies don't care about privacy.
That's true.
Like, but Sophie, we all have iPhones, okay? Like, they read our biometric data every 5 seconds of the day. Like, normal people don't care about privacy. And, like, it's cool if you do. And I think you should. I think you should, for what it's worth. But you want people to, like, care about this stuff and adopt it. You kind of got to get to, like, their most animalistic incentives, and I think that this would be a really cool way to
do it. You have to get people through the front
door. If you're watching this, you don't have to give me credit. Just, you know, get people to adopt Bitcoin. That's all that matters to me.
I've got one more idea for Square. They could gamify it, so they could keep it a lot more private. Where they say, "Hey, you stacked X number of Sats this year compared to other coffee shops, compared to other restaurants, compared to other barber shops, you're in the top 10 percentile."
You know, exactly.
Make it a challenge.
And Spotify, like, oh, by the way, does do that. Spotify does gamify it. They're like, you're in the top 0.1% that listens to Lana Del Rey. And I'm just like, yes, yes, I am.
I love it. All righty, guys. I think that's a good place to wrap. But anyway, I hope what people took away from this chat is we are bullish. Sentiment is bad right now. But for people who are continuing to educate themselves, learning, growing their conviction, there is so much to be excited about. The future is bright, even if there are going to be some dark spots ahead. And it's very much to Bitcoin that we can thank for that. So, Sophie, why don't you tell people where they can find you? Give a handoff to anyone who's listening.
For sure. You guys can follow me on the Simply Bitcoin YouTube channel and on X at Internet Sophie.
Perfect. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time. Sophie, appreciate you joining. Tony, great chatting as always. We will be back again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Bye.
Hey there. Thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.